title tonight's message, Living Saved and Called. Not just saved, saved and called. Let's start by reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I love that scripture right there. Do not be ashamed. What? What? You go to church? What? You don't? Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Interesting concept, that scripture. You know, before I knew Jesus, before I knew his love, before I knew his saving grace, his power, I've got to tell you, my future looked pretty empty. Now, I wasn't an addict. I wasn't broken. I was quite successful in business. I was married and things were going fine. But in that fineness, there was an emptiness. There was an emptiness. Why am I really here? What is this 70 or 80 years on the earth really all about? Is it that I exist, get a house, have a few children, then get old and then pass on? Is that all there is to it? The concept of an eternity without God, I mean, really, is death the end? Is that the finish? Is that, and in that sense of wanting to know more and wanting to find my reason. So when I found God, I found a God that created me, a God that cared for me, and it's about us. It's about us finding our love, or finding his love, finding our purpose, finding our future, and even in our eternity, when we've been there 10,000 years. When I found Christ, I found a reason to be alive. I found that I here for a purpose. I was born for this generation with something of God inside me that this generation needs. I wasn't an accident, though I might have been a shock to my parents. I wasn't an accident under God. We read that he knew about us from the beginning of time. We're here for a reason now, and we've got something that's heavenly inside of us. It gives us our reason. It's our new life. It's our new future. It's our salvation, which is awesome to know that now I've found God and I shall be with him in eternity. But being saved is not just about saved. There's another greater reason than just getting to heaven. I love it that we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. I love it that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but it's not the end. It's just the beginning. And once we've settled that we're going to heaven, once we've settled that we are sons and daughters of God, once we've settled the thing that we are in love and he loves us and he won't leave us and forsake us, then our goals change. Be assured, as a Christian, your goal is no longer to get to heaven. That's where dead Christians go. It's not an option. That's where we end up. So once we find Jesus, and be assured the plan of God is that everybody finds him. That's the plan. But once we do, our goal is not just about getting to heaven. No, the plan of God now for you and I is to bring heaven to earth. Jesus said, pray like this, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth. Earth as it is in heaven. The church, the holy calling of God is that we bring heaven to earth. And the more of heaven we bring to earth, the more of earth we're going to see go to heaven. That's the plan of the church. Dead believers go to heaven. It's done. Now our job is to bring heaven to earth. So part one, God's plan for all people is to find and accept the reality of their creator in Jesus Christ. Make him Lord and Savior. And then heaven becomes their eternal destination. That's part one. Part two is that we are not just saved, we are saved and we are called with a holy calling. So God's plan is much bigger than just getting you and me to heaven. Did you know, nothing in God, don't upset too many people, but nothing in God is just about you. Not one thing. It doesn't matter where you go, Scripture. It's never just about you. We are blessed so we can be a blessing. We might receive a healing because God loves us, but be assured that healing was more than loving you, is that you can bring faith and healing to somebody else. When I had cancer, lung cancer and throat cancer in 2012, and they dealt with my throat through chemotherapy and radiation, I still had lung cancer, and they said, well, we can't do anything about that for 6 months. And I said, no, that's not what your advertising says. Your advertising says, get it early. That's what it says. And they said, well, you're not strong enough. You're not well enough. We got to wait. And I said, what's the prognosis? They said, we don't know. In 6 months, we just hope that it hasn't got too big or it hasn't spread throughout the rest of your body. That was my prognosis in 2012. And so 6 months later, after they dealt with my throat cancer, I'm getting fit and strong. I go in for a scan, and God is absolutely supernaturally healed. The tumor in my lung has disappeared. This church prayed. People around the world prayed. And as much as I know God loves me, that healing was not just for me alone.
Come on. That's good.
It was. Look, I've got to be honest. I was happy with my old testimony. Once I was lost, then I was found. I was good with that one. I didn't need a new one. But since then, we have seen more people healed of cancer in this church than ever before. So in other words, that healing wasn't just about me. Nothing in God is just about you or just about me. When we get saved, it's not about just getting us to heaven. It's that now we work on getting other people there as well. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. He did not imply go and make decisions of all nations. Why? The difference. A decision gets you to heaven. A disciple helps somebody else get there. Big difference in a concept between a decision, I'm saved, and then somebody else getting to heaven. So now that we're believers, now we're on that journey, it's wrong thinking to think, now I'm a believer, it's okay to be at church once a month or once every 6 weeks. It's wrong thinking. I'll pray only when I'm in need or when hell breaks loose. Wrong thinking. The Bible, well, I don't really pick it up. It's on the screens at the back of Pastor Mark when he preaches on Sunday. Be assured, when I sat with these pastors over the last few days, they said their biggest fear, listen to this, because we're a young crowd here tonight, their biggest fear is that the younger generation don't read their Bible. Wow. They don't know their Bible. Wow. They have made the internet their Bible. Wow. And it's not produced faith, it's produced confusion. The Bible says to listen to the apostles' doctrine, not the internet doctrine. This is the place you feed your doctrines from. I am the apostle, not the internet. The internet does not bring faith. The Word of God brings faith. You don't want to just hear about the Bible. You want to know the Bible. All right? And it's wrong thinking to think we just pick it up every now and then. They'll read a scripture once on a Sunday. I don't have to be involved. Wrong thinking. I'm just going to hang out. Wrong thinking. I'm going to do enough good things to make sure I get into heaven. Like it's balancing the universal scales of justice. Just enough to make it over the line. No, God's plan is much bigger for you than that. You were designed for a purpose. You have a reason to be here beyond yourself and more than just existing till the 20-cent coins run out. You were designed on purpose for a purpose in this time in history. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship. Don't you love it that we're His workmanship? But you and I weren't designed in Hong Kong, Detroit or Manila. On the back of your soul there's a tag that says made in heaven. We are designed His work, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which what? Were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were not designed for bad works. We were not designed for no works. We were designed for good works. In other words, God has a plan that you exist. God has a reason for your life. You are carrying spiritual gold that this generation needs. So the Christian life is about being saved and called. You know, You won't regret in heaven one moment of what you did on earth for the kingdom of God. You won't regret one moment in heaven what you did for the kingdom of God on earth. We're here to bring healing to the sick, freedom to the bound and addicted, salvation to the lost, hope to the hopeless. This is our holy calling. This is what a holy calling is. I don't want to just hear and read about the great things that God is doing in our generation. I don't want it to be something over there or something over there. I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing in this generation. I am determined to make sure that my life will count for something. We need to call someone. We need to find someone. We need to tell someone. We need to pray for someone. Man, we need to invite someone. We need to help someone. That's what we're called to do. As a matter of fact, you remember earlier in the year you were giving out cards to write down names of people that you'll believe in God for this year. And maybe if you missed that moment, it's okay. What I'm going to do right now is if you've got the name of the person that you're believing God for in your phone, and if you don't have a name of that on that card, but you have a name of somebody you'd like to see become a believer, we're going to text them right now. Is that okay? I want us to pick up our phones, find somebody we're believing for, and we're all going to text. If you can, if you've got a phone, get down. I'm going to say just a short thing, something like, you came to my mind. I'm praying that 2018 will be the best year ever. If you know they're going through some stuff, say, you know what? You came to my mind. I'm believing. Don't send it yet. We're all going to send it together. All right. I'm praying for victory in that situation, whatever it is. But I want us to just pick somebody on your phone right now to start to write out a text to somebody that you're believing for. We're here. We're just here to encourage. We're just to know. I want right now for them to know that we are praying for them, that you're in their they're in your thoughts. And right now we're going to do something. So if we could just get that out, get a phone, find somebody in there that's got a name you're believing for, something really simple. I'm believing God for that breakthrough. I'm believing God for that healing. I'm believing God it'll be an awesome year, your best year ever in 20. I'm praying for you. I'm believing God for you. And then when we get that all ready, don't send, we're going to pray. We lift our phones. We're going to pray. And then we're all going to hit the send button at the same time. So I'll count to three. When I get to three, we all just got to hit the send button, and right across Brisbane and beyond, there are going to be a bucket loads of prayers, right? Just going to go from this place and start to cover across Brisbane and beyond all at one time. So let's just do that. Get it happening. You're all faster than me. I know that. So I should be the last one.
Come on.
All right. Come on. Get it done. All right, I'm still going. You're all finished, I know. All right, we got it happening? Just a short text about praying or believing for somebody right now. All right, when you're ready, just put your phone up in the air so I know we're getting it happening. Father, I pray over every person that's represented here on these phones tonight. God, we're about to send a message of hope, a message of faith to people right across this city and beyond. God, I'm believing that by your Spirit, you'd anoint every message here tonight. That when that person receives that message, there'd be a touch of heaven upon it. They would sense the presence of God, that miracles and breakthroughs would happen. Their hearts would be open towards Jesus tonight. We thank you this power when we believe together. Father, we thank you as we reach our world for Jesus. God, you're going to do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. One, two, three, send. Woo! Come on now. Be assured that we're many ways to reach our world for Jesus. We're called to invite. We're called to pray. We're called to engage, to encourage, to do all those. That's the holy calling. The holy calling is not giving up food for a month and going to a monastery. Holy calling is being about the Father's business. And though we can't do everything, but we can all do something. And that's something we must do. Don't think that numbers are not important to God. Don't think, man, he wrote a whole book and called it Numbers. God's dream, the Bible says, this is what it says. God's dream is that all should be saved. That's what it says, biblically, that's what it says, scripture. All, God's dream is that all should be saved. And the word all in the Greek and in the Hebrew means the same thing. It means all. Same thing. It means all. Think of it like this. Parents are at the beach. They've got three kids. They turn their back. The kids escape. They head off in different directions. Parents turn around, panic, freak out, start chasing kids down. The husband finds one, brings him back, ties into the bumper of the car. Mother comes back with another one. And the husband turns to her and says this, let's head off home. And she looks at him with this, what do you mean head off home? We have three children, we've only found two. Imagine if his response was, well, numbers aren't important. Who knows, numbers are always important to the one who's still lost. God's dream is that all should be saved. Numbers in a church is not about how big we are. It's how many people we're reaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is wanting to build his church and fill heaven with his people. And it's not about, Joe, you mightn't be in a perfect spot. You mightn't be going through your own stuff. You might be dealing with things. And you might be having a journey that's hard at the moment. But that doesn't stop anybody still from reaching out with the good news of who Jesus Christ is. I don't know a day that you don't have something going on. If I read the scripture correctly, Paul was always going through something. He could have been miserable, complain. Every city he went into, there was a sign across the main road that said, welcome to our jail. And yet in that jail, he would still stand and declare the wonder of Jesus Christ. And guards would get saved. You might be going through some stuff. You might be having your own journey, but you don't have to be perfect to share the gospel. You don't have to be perfect to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You just got to love him and care for him. God wants to build his church, and I'm not talking about a building made of brick, mortar, and steel. I'm talking about a church or a building made of people with flesh, heart, and soul. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22 says this, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the house of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God's wanting to build his church, not out of mortar and brick, but out of human souls. The Bible says, then we are fitted together, a holy temple, housing the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer to humankind's problems lays in the essence of Jesus and his church. Old Testament believing couldn't grasp the concept of God in us. They couldn't have the faith for it. As a matter of fact, they used to carry God around in a box. Then they realized it was a bit small, so they built him a temple. And in that temple, they put a huge curtain again to keep God away from people. Finally, God said, enough is enough. And on the day that Jesus Christ died on that cross, he said, I'm moving. And he ripped the temple curtain from top to bottom. That thing that separated from his real dwelling place, his people, and said, from now on, I will not build buildings out of mortar and brick. I will live in the people of God. God is wanting to live inside of us, and together we house the very presence and the love and the power of God. That's where He lives. And we are fitted together in a place of togetherness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this. Coming to Him as a living stone. He's calling us living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones. I love the picture of that. So you and I, once we're saved, our holy calling then is to become a living stone, fitted together, forming His kingdom on earth, a place of His presence, a place of His power, a place of His love, His church. So our choice, and this is the choice you and I have, because of all the great things that God has given us, the most profound thing that He has given humankind is a free will. The most powerful thing that you own is a choice, a freedom. And our choice as saved believers is whether we're going to become living stones or hang around as dead rocks. Let me explain dead rocks. Dead rocks aren't interested in being formed and fashioned. They're only interested in what they want. They're only interested in how they feel. They're not invested or interested in involvement, giving, serving, or helping. They're around, but they don't carry weight on their shoulders or responsibility. They question the Word of God. How sad to be a believer that questions the Word of God. I want to give you a tip here tonight. Don't have an opinion about the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Don't have an opinion about it. Obey the Word of God. We're not called to have an opinion about the Word of God. We're called to obey the Word of God. The power of the Word of God is in obedience to the Word of God. They question the Word of God instead of obeying it. Dead rocks. Or really, they just don't know the Word of God. But our choice is to be a living stone. What a difference. Living stones embrace the heavenly angle grinder. They embrace the work that God wants to do in them. Their cry is, fashion me, Lord, form me. Let the sparks fly. I want to fit into my place, into your kingdom. Do what you need to do in my life, Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I think that's the prayer we should pray the most. Do in me what you need to do, Holy Spirit. Because the reality is you become what you are, or the world around you becomes what you're like. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. So my greatest cry is, Lord, do something in me, Holy Spirit. I want to fit into my place in this holy temple. I don't want to be a dead rock cast out to the side. I want to be a living stone formed and fashioned and fitted into the house that you're building on the earth. Stones on top, there'll be stones below. There'll be stones to the left, stones to the right. Remember the song in the 80s, Stuck in the Middle with You? I'm not going to sing it. I was tempted, but I'm not going to. You'll sing it. Come on. So badly, yeah. We can sing it together. No. Stuck in the middle with you. Stones to the left, stones to the right, stones above, stones below. I want my life to count. I do not want to die at the end of my days and change nothing. No one. I'm not a ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got a footprint. I've got hands to change people's lives. I've got a mouth that can speak words of hope and faith. I believe in miracles. I believe that God does supernatural things beyond reason. People say, well, I can't believe the Bible because it's impossible scientifically for a man to live in a fish 3 days. It's impossible to walk on water. It's impossible to do lots of things in the Bible. But that makes God, God. God can't, science can't prove God. God created science. And all supernatural means is, the word super means above and beyond. That's what it means, the prefix super. So when we say supernatural, what we're saying is we've just gone above and beyond the law that was there. Aerodynamics is a supernatural law. It destroys the law of gravity and brings in a higher law called aerodynamics. God is a supernatural God. He created all the natural laws, and he can supernaturally go above and beyond everything he created. He is God. Science is not God. Be assured of that. Salvation is just the beginning. I'm saved and I'm called. I will be his witness. I will be his disciple. I was reading a book on persecuted churches, and I read the words of a pastor who had been in jail, a Russian pastor who was in prison for being a Russian pastor or a pastor of a church. He was in prison for 18 years. And one of the notes he'd given back to his church while he was in prison, well, he said this. This was his plea, and I believe it's to you and I. He said this: don't give up in freedom what we would never give up in persecution. That is our witness to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't give up in freedom what we would never give up in persecution. That is our witness, my witness, to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What an opportunity we have to bring Jesus to our generation. God's number one part of the plan is that you, anybody here tonight, comes and finds the reality of your Creator. The Bible says those who believe upon him shall be saved. Amen. Just believe, just start. And once you grasp his wonder and his beauty and who he is and his grace and his mercy, then you move into a holy calling, a calling of I can and I will make a difference in somebody else's life. Will we bow our heads tonight right across this building?